Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.
Lord of all creation, water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty.
Lord of heaven and earth,
Our affirmation of faith is the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our first scripture reading from the 57th chapter of Isaiah, verses 14 through 21. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the High and Exalted One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry, for then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger, yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the 21st chapter of Revelation, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as far as the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's an elderly couple that passed away at the same time, and they found themselves together at the pearly gates. They were welcomed by St. Peter, who took them on a tour of their new mansion. Such a beautiful and luxurious place, and the husband was just amazed, and he said, "How much does this place cost each night?" St. Peter said, "Sir, this is heaven. It doesn't cost a thing." And then Peter took them to the dining room, where table after table was piled high of the most delicious foods that you could even imagine. The man said, "Well, how much are the meals?" Peter said, "Sir, you forget this is heaven. It's free." And after the dining rooms, they went behind the mansion, out back. And there was the most fantastic and beautiful golf course that he'd ever seen. And he stood there with his mouth agape, and Peter said, "I know what you're about to ask. Don't ask, because there are no greens fees here. This is heaven. Everything is free." And the man got a scowl on his face. He looked over at his wife and said, "You and your bran muffins, I could have been here 10 years ago." Now, the joke captures the promise of eternal life, a place of unbelievable beauty and delight. But sometimes people think of heaven as dull and boring. But the best thing that you can think about of heaven is not where we are, but who we are with. Scripture is clear to us that there is a real heaven. Every description of it draws a picture of perfection, be it numbers or dimensions. Whatever the description is, we see perfection. We must be reminded that this earth is not our rest. I want you to try to fill up the vessel that you are in any way that you'd like to see with the things of earth, and you will not find the fullness of heaven. The Apostle Paul said that if this life is all that there is, then we as Christians should be pitied above all people. Great prophets proclaimed their frailties of this world. Elijah requested that he might die. So did Jonah, and so did Jeremiah, saying, "Cursed be the day that I was born." Though there is joy in following and serving the Lord here on this earth, the curse is still here. People who have had all sorts of wealth, Solomon saying it is all vanity. Heaven is not something that we can build here on earth. Heaven is the work of God. Now, how many of you want to go to heaven? I recall the story of a preacher asking that very question to his congregation one Sunday morning, and everyone but one older lady who sat in the back of the church raised their hand. After the service, he asked the woman why she didn't raise her hand. "Don't you want to go to heaven?" he asked. She said, "Well, just how soon were you aiming to make the trip?" The unknown is scary to us. In Scripture, we have some glimpses of heaven, but ultimately, the same Scripture says that ear has not heard, nor eye seen what God has in store for us. It is good beyond what we can even begin to imagine. John saw a new heaven and new earth. I remind you of the Scripture we read. I'm going to read it now from the NIV. Revelation 21:1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Some people believe in heaven as an earthly paradise, and in some ways it is, but the old earth is gone. It's a brand new creation. In the midst of this new creation, John says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. In the chapter that follows, you will see all the perfect numbers. What does the Bible compare to a bride? Yes, the church. All who are saved are compared to a bride. The new creation is populated by all believers. These verses go on to talk about the absence of the curse, no more tears. But before that is mentioned, something greater is mentioned. Verse 3, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You find scattered throughout the Bible a statement from God basically saying, I will be their God and they will be my people and I will dwell with them. Friends, this is the plan of salvation. Salvation is God's presence and reign in the life of the believer. In Genesis, humankind was separated from God, and the whole of the Bible depicts a story of redemption which is fulfilled through Jesus. And salvation is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Salvation begins here, but the ultimate fruition of salvation is God dwelling with us fully in a brand new place. So as I said earlier, the most important thing about heaven is who we are with. Who wants to spend eternity with a God whom they wanted nothing to do with here on this earth? Does your heart thirst for the living God? Verse 4 says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I've heard people argue over and over whether our new body will be a physical body with spiritual attributes, or a spiritual body with physical attributes. You cannot die there. There's no more crying or pain. We are new creatures. Verse 5, He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Absolute authority, nothing before him, nothing after him, always has been, always will be, God Almighty. And if your heart thirsts for him, then you can drink from the fount of salvation here and now and in heaven throughout eternity. Salvation is offered to us free of cost. We are reminded of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There was a hopeless alcoholic who was converted. And he was asked, How do you know you're a Christian? And the man looked and he said, I was there when it happened. In his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, the author Charles Swindoll tells a story about 19th century agnostic Thomas Huxley. And some of you might know that it was Huxley who promoted Darwinism and humanism in his attacks on Christianity. And Huxley was in Dublin, and he was rushing to catch a train. He climbed aboard one of Dublin's famous horse-drawn taxis and said to the driver, Hurry, I'm almost late, drive fast. And off they went at a furious pace, and Huxley sat back in his seat, and he closed his eyes. And after a while, Huxley opened his eyes and glanced out the window to notice they were going in the wrong direction. And realizing that he hadn't told the driver where to take him, he called out, Do you know where we're going? The driver replied, No, Your Honor, but I am driving very fast. Verse 7 says, He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But there is another side to this coin also. Verse 8, But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The same Bible that tells of heaven also tells of a lake of sulfur, and those who will be there are described in this verse. Now look at some of those terms. The cowardly are listed first. This may not seem significant in our day, but it certainly was in the day which these were written, and it will be vital in the days in which things are being fulfilled as well. The cowardly will deny Jesus. But doesn't this knock Peter out? Didn't Peter deny Jesus? The difference is that Peter repented. The unbelieved are listed. If you are an unbeliever and you become a believer, it just may be that God will have used your words to kindle their faith. Murderers are listed there. Wasn't Paul a murderer? Yet there was repentance. The sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, those who worship other gods are all listed there. Liars will be there. Doesn't that include all of us? Friends, these things are lifestyles apart from repentance. Without forgiveness, we would be all in this lake. The lifestyles listed here are those who saw no need for the forgiveness and salvation offered by Jesus. They are people headed in the wrong direction. There was a man who was watching the news one night, and it was reported that a car was going the wrong direction on the freeway. And the man knew his wife was on that freeway and became very concerned, so he called her on her cell phone, and she answered, and he said, "Dear, there's one car going the wrong direction on the freeway." She claimed, "One car? There's hundreds of them." There's one thing in Scripture the Bible tells us that God will forget, and that one thing is the sins that we've asked forgiveness for. He will wipe our slate clean if we thirst for the salvation that He offers. So I ask you this morning, do you thirst for salvation? There's no better way and no better day than today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to start out on a brand new path. I remind you, He said He will make all things new. That includes us. Let us pray. Our God, we recognize You as loving Father and friend, but also Master and ruler of our lives. We humble ourselves before the throne and before Your amazing grace. You hold all things in the palm of Your hand. You know even the number of hairs upon our heads. How do You know every circumstance of our past and present? You are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Thank You for never leaving us or forsaking us. We owe our very lives to You, our friend Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for us. Lord, thank You for helping us leave the ashes of our past behind, all the pain, the darkness, the failures, and even our successes, for You desire to do a new thing. Help us to believe it and receive it. Give us a boost of faith and courage to receive the anointing You want us to have, for it will bring glory and honor to Your great name and help restore the honor You so rightly deserve. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that as You restore what's been lost from our lives, You are also restoring the honor that has been lost from Your great name. What an amazing God You are. As Your honor is restored, people all over the world will be able to recognize You as the loving Heavenly Father You are, and we will come running to You. We pray all these things in the precious, good name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. Oh Lord, those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. Their God. the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. And I am bound, I am bound, I am bound for the promised land. And I am bound, I am bound, I am bound for the promised land. No chilling wind nor poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore where sickness, sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. And I am bound, I am bound, I am bound for the promised land. And I am bound, I am bound, I am bound for the promised.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.